And we're live.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Wasted Attention Podcast. I am your host, Animal. And tonight we are joined with the original Musketeer, man. The fucking fourth person from our little shindig. We got Red. What's up, Red?
What's up? What's up?
Man, they got you out of the mill for a night, huh?
Yeah, I'm actually broadcasting from the mill right now.
We're going to find out, yeah, his crane. He, like, made it look like his little man cave or something.
Nice.
That's hilarious, man. What's up, Ivan? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, man. Life treating you good?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah? Kinda. Hell yeah.
Hits me every now and again, you know.
Right. Exactly. Just let you know we're not in control, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. What's up, JD?
Man, just watching some Dr. Pimple Popper and shit. So what I've been doing the last couple days.
I love that show.
I do too.
That's very nasty.
Dude,
it is, but it's very intriguing at the same time. It's like very, I can't wait till it comes out.
It's very fulfilling. It feels very, very fulfilling to me. I don't know why.
Satisfy.
Exactly. There you go. Get that shit out of there.
If it was consensual, I want to kiss her once. Just because she's got the smallest lips. I want to feel
it. It's not consensual. Like I can guarantee you that.
I don't even know. You haven't given
it's a chick?
Sense.
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about the show.
I like how you even like second guess that it was a dude. Like a dude was an option. Like that's how well he knows me. He's like, oh, if it's a dude, it's fine.
It's fine. Just fine.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, millionaire
the
to
millennia.
The whole lifestyle is fast.
It's all
furious.
The same.
Exactly.
Oh, George Carlin. Poor guy. Ah, he was cold.
Rough.
Yeah.
What you drinking, Ivan?
Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yuck.
Oh.
Have a beer like a real man.
Oh.
Come on.
He's drinking on the crane.
Ivan.
Yo.
I was at Strax the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get your opinion. Have you seen the new Dr. Pepper bottles or the new font?
No.
Dude, it's crazy. It's like, bam, it's huge. Like they increased, their font size. And it's like fucking obnoxious. You're like,
I think somebody messed up in the computer.
Yeah, I said this failure. Was 14 Times New Roman, not 24 Helvetica.
The font's different in different fonts, man, or the size is different.
It's crazy, man. I don't know. I just was like, this is really obnoxious. I don't know why we did this, but
crazy.
Whatever. But anyways, what brings us all together tonight is we're going to be discussing Fear Factory's Archetype album, which already we've all been talking about this for years, where ironically, all of us have agreed that this is a good album, and that never happens between the three of us, let alone the four of us, where we're all on the same page. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Very awesome.
Yes. There's some news today, though, with Fear Factory. JD, you want to touch base on that?
So must have been one of you guys that shared this to me. I'm almost positive. Had to have been, right? Somebody shared it to the page? So Burton's like, yeah, fuck Dino. I'm out. I'm not even touching this shit.
I like how I was like, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because even last time, I think, did we touch upon this when we did the Chili Peppers? That that Burton was like, I don't have nothing to do with that. The GoFundMe. I was like, oh, this is a good sign. Glad to see we're on the same page here.
I was about to mention that. It was like Burt was slowly like, this is, not me here.
Yeah.
They've had like financial issues though. Like it seems like forever, like between like the bandmates and shit like that, you know,
it's been up and down for them.
So it's ever since Dino came back, man.
Yeah.
Well, fucking Christian and the drummer kind of sold them or sued them for the rights to the name or something, ain't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So was I that thought after it was like Dino came back, or was that like?
It must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe around 2015.
Transgression.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they're probably pissed off that the shit that they did is like gone now. It's like it's obsolete.
Let it begin.
But
I don't know, man.
Because you can't find Archetype on Apple at least.
There's
I don't know how Spotify is. Sure, the one that came after Archetype, that one's not on there. I know that. And there has to have been one before GeneXus, right? Maybe 2010-ish, 2011, maybe?
I don't know.
We got, let's see, Archetype, Transgression, and Mechanize.
Mechanize.
There you go.
Okay.
Mechanize.
Yeah, that's the one I forgot.
Which one's one Dino came back on?
GeneXus, I thought?
Yeah.
Okay, that... then the Industrialist is before that one.
I don't know if I heard that one at all.
So that's like four missing albums.
Yeah. Man, I fell off of this band hard.
Yeah?
I never
who grabbed Transgression and we were checking it out? Who was that? Was that you?
Yeah.
And didn't it have that U2 cover on it? We're like, I don't know if we like this.
Yeah. We bought it at Best Buy after we were hanging out at Richie's old apartment on Tapper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were so into Archetype that I remember listening to this all together and we're like, I don't know if I like it.
They had that video because Richie was playing it in the apartment. It was like called like Brace Myself for the Impact or something like that.
Something. Yeah.
Something 1,000 degrees.
So like overall, man, I think that like Archetype is their like best album. Would you guys agree?
I would.
I think so, yeah.
And then the rest just had singles.
Yeah.
To me.
Linchpin's to my me. Shit, though, dude. Linchpin.
That's what I'm saying.
Song is brutal.
They have good songs, like, throughout, but then, like, this album just is just all together. Like, that. It is what it is. Like
from start to finish.
Yeah. I honestly don't have, like an absolute favorite on this album. Like, I could probably name one. But like all together, like how you guys are saying.
Yeah, I agree. I got to go back and dig deeper into the older shit, but yeah, I can just tell from early listening, it's probably all together. Like what you're saying, the whole album just probably not, but Archetype's that way for me. I can listen to all of it.
Yeah, I pretty much like on my playlist, I have Archetype. I don't have that downloaded, but all the other ones, I have just certain songs downloaded off each album.
Yeah.
But if this album were available, I'd have the whole fucking thing.
Dude, I bought it back in the day. I want to say I bought it like around 2010 because I want to say I lent somebody that fucking my actual album version and I never got it back. So I had to buy it again on iTunes and it kind of worked out. So now I got a copy. Me. Yeah. It was not either you or Eddie. I can't remember. It might have been Eddie. I don't know why, but I feel like he's to blame.
Everything you've ever lent me, I still have from like 15 years ago.
I just got some of that back, yeah. Recently.
He's got a box in storage.
Yeah.
Just has all
even using it anymore. I got
like a 3-foot stack of guitar books that are all his. They're just sitting there, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know, JD, to kind of touch on that about the best album, like it's really hard for me to commit Archetype as my favorite Fear Factory. It's going to be split. For the most Fear Factory sounding album, will definitely go to Demanufacture for me, hands down. But for like the new direction of what Fear Factory went in, because Archetype was not anything that we were used to from them. It had their elements, but Christian changed that whole fucking band.
That's probably why I like it.
Yeah. Is it less industrial compared to the old ones? Because I haven't checked out much of it. So I'm saying it seems like there's less of those elements to it. Do you think that has a lot to do with it?
I don't think so, because like you could still hear, because I believe Christian's the one that was doing all that stuff too. Anyway.
There's like less samples and stuff. It's more straightforward.
It's,
like
there. It's just there's, blended in. It's in more,
I think it's more like atmosphere rather than like the industrial feel. Yeah. Like the old shit was like the industrial, like I don't know what you want to call it, like feel, but this just brought like more like an atmospheric, almost like a Chimera-ish kind of feel to it.
I agree. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. Like it's more subtle and goes with the music as opposed to like maybe they're writing shit around it or it's so abrasive that you kind of hear the old shit. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like that's what I was definitely hear it. Is
there's
there.
A lot of breaks, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
sure.
about? Like, this was like, and I hate to classify it, but it kind of went along with that new wave of American metal for me. Like it kind of was like, yeah, that is my boy right there. Well, that's your genre though, man. That's
exactly why this fucking album is like the shit to me. Like,
yeah.
Well, so it opens up. Like, does the opening, what, Slave Labor, does that remind you guys of anything specific, that riff, when it opens up?
I bet it reminds Dino of some old stuff.
Just listen to it, and I promise you, I get, like, a Pantera feel, like, to the actual opening riff.
Like the...
Yeah. I don't know. I just get, like, a Pantera feel. After, when it, like, all kicks in, it goes away, but, like, if I was listening to it, just the opening riff and not knowing it was Fear Factory, it almost has a Pantera feel.
I've never thought of that before in my life. So that's actually, it makes sense to me now that you say that.
It has that punchy guitar tone.
It almost, man. Yeah, it's like the way that rhythm is, it's really kind of like real fast picking, like fucking Hostile would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get you. I hear you.
See? You know,
Richie,
what
Jake told me that I can't hang out on the gent shit posting page anymore because I told him the other day that Dime's tone was trash, and he said I've been hanging out too much on the gent page.
I know, I don't, dude,
yeah, get out of here with that shit.
They just rip Pantera all day,
they do. They really,
I'm like,
do.
Where do you think this shit came from, motherfucker?
Dude, anything that's popular or like, Pantera is one that they shit on a lot, anything that's like kind of mainstream, they shit on. I'm like, all right, fuck you.
Speaking all of this,
gent, you know, guttle fucking decapitation are so good. Oh, that's why nobody's ever heard of them, you fucking tard.
wouldn't Fear Factory be like the original gent? I don't.
Dude, if you were going to give it to somebody.
They are a solid original for almost everything, with the hard vocals and singing vocals. And like,
it'd be between them or Meshuggah, I guess, right?
Yeah.
When did Meshuggah come out, though? Because I know.
Late 80s, or not.
I thought so too. At least early 90s. At least.
Yeah. Fear Factory is 89. Mm. Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking like 80s. Anytime I think of 80s, I think of like hair metal.
Right.
I don't even think of fucking anything heavy.
Yeah. 87 for Meshuggah.
Damn.
87?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Damn.
But where's Meshuggah from? Like, though.
Where's Meshuggah? Where are they from?
Is this Sweden? Yeah, Sweden.
So they're on opposite, dude, because Fear Factory is from Los Angeles. So they were just fucking doing shit on opposite sides and probably not even knowing about it. That's crazy.
Yep.
There's a theory that says, like, say, for instance, if, like, say, what was the dude that invented a telephone? Was it Alexander Graham Bell or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Sounds right.
There's a theory that if he didn't invent it, someone else at some point in time would have. So, like, everything is going to be done at a certain point in time. It's just whoever's going to do it first.
And that just interesting. Really blew my mind. Yeah. Think about that. Like, it could have been like
the receiver
could have been in the middle. Thank you, Ivan. Like, instead of being on the bottom, they would have been like, well, I was speaking into the center of it. Like, no, it's not.
And I was going to have nightmares for like weeks now.
Yes.
I was thinking of Nightmare on Elm Street too. Remember when Freddy came through the phone? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that everybody hates.
Yep. That's crazy. I was actually gonna say something. Oh, was Dino bumping the seven strings the entire time?
No.
No.
I think we established that last time.
I think the first album was still sixes. Like, I never confirmed it, so don't quote me on it, but I think it wasn't until maybe the second album that he was for sure into the sevens. But like I said, I never listened to the Soul of a New Machine, so don't quote me on that. I just thought that's what I read in like guitar magazines.
I wasn't like a huge fan of it. I picked it up at Disc Replay like probably a year ago because I was like, oh, I've never seen this. And I was like, oh, it's okay. But like, that's one of those bands that I think definitely got better over time, but then after Archetype, like, that was it for me. Like, that's the highest you could be.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately for Dino. Their best album he wasn't even on. Oh, terrible.
I don't know, man. Christian's tone, like, if I played guitar, like I've said it before, I would want my shit to sound like Christian's, man. It was like so like just punchy and like, oh,
Hey, why don't you reach out to Christian, see if he'll come on the podcast and talk some shit.
There you go. That's
just reach out to him on Loudwire because he's always in those messages and shit on Instagram.
Yeah.
What's he got to do? He's sitting back counting money at this point, I would imagine.
That'd be no problem.
Christ's sakes, Ben, I said I'm busy. Dude, I have to reference real quick about that Chris Barnes thing I shared, how he was on the Gentship hosting page.
Yeah, they shit on him all the time, too. And he's, like, actually in it.
He's like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah,
I just did a quick look, and it looks like that they've always used 7-string.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And then Dino says a lot of bands pull influence from
Korn
material. Yeah.
Well, it predates Korn then. I mean, depending on what time they got together. I know that first album was 94-ish, and that was the first time I'd heard of 7-strings. So, yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Wow. I guess that's the same for me, too. For 7-strings, I thought, like, back then I was ignorant, but I thought that Korn, like, kind of pioneered that.
They made them popular.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the 80s, there's probably some fucking obscure band that played a few fucking songs with 7-strings or some shit. Who knows? Maybe even jazz guitar players might have used 7s.
Yeah, you never
play along with pianos.
And it's saying Fear Factory years active since 89.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is nuts. Huh. I remember watching them. It was probably like 95 or 96. WCW Nitro had a live show while they were on MTV Spring Break, and Fear Factory was playing in the background. And I remember Jericho was wrestling. I want to say it was Canyon, but I remember that.
Nice.
Dude, yeah. I feel like I kind of sort of remember this.
Who was he wrestling?
Nice. Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Who better than Canyon?
But, man, like, that was cool because back in the 90s, they could do that. Like, hey, you want to get Fear Factory to play while we wrestle? Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Jericho was rocking the metal back then, too. That's cool.
He was, man. He always did, which is so cool. And he's never shied away from his roots, man.
Yeah. Fear Factory is also referenced in a video game.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fear Factory always, like, did their – they kind of, like – pull their music in a style of like what's that movie? Oh shit, with like
Titanic.
That old movie. Yes. with the cyborgs and all that shit, and Han Solo was in it. Harrison Ford.
Blade Runner.
They get their like, it's kind of like in that type of universe their like style is, you know.
That's then, what they're going so, from.
In Fallout 3, there's those little computers that you go up to and you can read stuff in it. And one of them said on the monitor, let me pull it up. This is in the Museum of Technology.
Dude, I found this randomly and I shit my pants.
I did too. It says the virus that has been plaguing our archetype model FF06 mainframe due to an unknown attack has finally been localized by our research team and identified. After a complete cleanup on the mainframe's core, I'm happy to announce that the infection has been removed. The soul of this machine has improved. B Bell research lead.
Oh, dude,
dude. It was fucking awesome. It was the coolest thing I've ever like accidentally discovered in a video game.
So cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a fucking awesome line, dude. I can't get enough of that. For like lyrics wise, it's fucking sick.
And people wonder why Dino doesn't want that album to be, you know?
Yeah.
That's just shitty, dude. It fucking hurts, man. I want to be able to just hit it on my playlist, you know, instead of like having to grab a disc and put it in or whatever.
Yeah. Man,
I was reading that Dino was actually pulling to get those songs played. That they've actually played those songs live.
Hmm.
And it was something to do with the label or something.
Man, ain't that a
That's
bitch?
Crazy.
You know, like you're the band and you're held up with that legal red tape. Like, if we ever like were able to like be a band like that, we would be dropped immediately because we'd be like, "Fuck no, this is our shit. This is what we're doing." You know?
Yeah, ain't that?
That's what you think. Bitch?
Yeah, and so they're like, "Oh, we're cutting everything off. Good luck." I'm like, "Oh." Yeah.
We played with cutoff equipment before, honey. Okay.
Everyone fucking breaking all his He kept blowing his heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how we had to roll. How many times did we take that head back into that fucking place? 2 or 3 times?
Dude.
Yeah.
It's fucking
that's how
shitty.
We learned about ohms, and I'm not talking about the Deftones.
Let's not talk about that.
What?
Yeah, garbage. Street garbage.
That sounds like next week's conversation.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's not, because you guys don't even care. You wouldn't even care about it. Like, well,
I do care.
I've heard that it's supposed to be heavy. I just haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, because it's better, and Brandon and Animal doesn't like it.
No. I know that I can be a nihilist about a lot of shit.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this off air. You're going to listen to it for a week, and then next week you're going to be like, this is the best shit ever.
No.
I kind of toned down. Yes. I was looking for something.
Yeah.
The new Deftones.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh.
No. So
if you search Dino playing Archetype, a video pulls up of him playing it.
Live or just like a studio?
It's a live. And you can see, what was the dude from Chimera? Mark? No, the other guy.
You're talking the DeVries. He was playing bass, probably.
What's his first name? Yeah,
Matt.
He was,
I think
Matt.
It's Matt.
Matt. Yeah. He was playing bass.
That's crazy. I forgot all about that shit.
But I don't see.
I didn't
Burton
hear
anywhere.
You. You got all fucked up on it. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Can I just say one thing? I just want to say one thing because now I'm angry.
He's so butthurt. I knew it. I knew he was butthurt. He's waiting
about
there Deftone? The whole time. Yeah.
All right. So this is what I'm going to say, is that I hold Deftones very dear to me, like I do Type O Negative. Those are two bands that I'm very much like guarded with. And I understand that. One of my favorite albums from Deftones is their self-titled one from 2003, just because it was like this sloppy hot mess of like pure emotion, and it just hit at a time for me when I really appreciated it, resonated with me, right? So for fucking months, Ohms is going to be like self-titled, get ready. They released the first song and I was like, this is really good, like I'm like really looking forward to it. Then they released the next one and it starts off real fucking heavy, like it's all low-end shit, they're letting the strings do all the work, just curving on the neck, like it sounded pristine. But then Chino just became more Chino than he has been. And I didn't know that that was a thing for me. But that's how the whole album is. It's like these 5-6 minute songs where there's like certain sections that I can pull out. And I was telling my wife about this earlier. The last two Deftone albums for me, I felt like I've been nitpicking. Oh, this section of this song is really interesting to listen to. And I love how this builds up to that. But I can't sit there and say this one full song I loved all the way through. So with this third chance, I'm like, I my heart's crushed, man. It's like a huge disappointment for me.
Eh, we lost.
Yeah, I get you. I don't know, man.
I don't know, man, dude. Like,
I liked it.
Did he quit?
You've always made your love of Type O fucking known. I've never known that you've loved like fucking Deftones like this.
Deftones.
I remember back in the day, he had like a notebook with a bunch of bands scribbled on it, and Deftones was definitely among those.
Mm-hmm.
But,
dude, Deftones.
Go ahead.
Deftones is just huge in our area. Like if you think about like I don't know, I don't want to say like the ghetto or the hood or whatever. Like mm-hmm. Deftones are huge amongst like inner city, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you guys one.
Dude, I know a lot of people that love Deftones.
In the region area.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys all one guess who got me into Deftones.
Eddie.
Pirate.
Eddie?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie?
Yep.
Oh, Eddie's a huge Deftones fan?
Big time. Yep.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was fucking skateboarding.
It's one of the few things I don't like about him.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's never really come up because, like, I try, like, I know I'm really out there with a lot of stuff, so I try not to like talk about too much stuff. But Deftones, yeah, man, really, really huge. And
did Chino
like...
quit?
Uh-uh.
I've seen a lot of things that he did.
So that was a link going on where like frontman Chino Marino quits Deftones, and it was a rickroll. But
I mean, I've seen like articles.
No.
He's still there, man. No, love me some
He's
Chino.
He's still there,
though,
bud.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm so glad we can make this a Deftones thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad we made this episode.
I'm sorry, but okay. So Cyber Waste, we all said that was a really cool song. Kind of reminded you guys of Pantera.
No. He's Slave Labor.
Slave Labor. I'm sorry. Slave Labor. Dude, it starts off like it grabs your attention. You're like, ooh, what are we going to be in for with this?
Yeah. I think that like is a great starter, like for the album. And then on top of it, I don't know. It just flow. The whole album flows well, mm-hmm. like from start to finish. There's no fucking like song I would skip or like, I don't know, like a downtime or anything like that.
It's like, especially going off of Slave Labor into Cyber Waste, that's fucking pretty epic. If you ask me.
Yeah. I like Cyber Waste was the one I was talking about. Like if I had to choose one, that'd be my one.
Yeah. It's got an Ivan feel to it, man. Like knowing you and what you dig and what like really gets that ear for you, I can totally see that, man.
See, this one, if we're bringing up Pantera influences, this one, like I always thought that that always reminded me of Pantera. So,
yeah. Dude, there's so many fucking riffs on here that, like, there's like breakdown riffs almost. And like, I don't know, like a thrash feel to it. And groove, it's all over the place. Like,
yeah, even drum wise, I think Cyber Waste is pretty fucking intense, man. Like, I know that's not saying much, but yeah, I was like, you can't listen to that song and I think, God damn,
especially that part when he's like, you are, he's like, daka, 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 daka.
Yeah,
the blast beats, man. That's all it is. It's so
just how quick he is, like, going through like the toms and shit with those fills.
Yeah, uh oh, do we lose Rhodes?
His wife kicked him off one way. Hold on. But anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, that was good, man. They had the video for it. That was like their single from this album, the first one.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You sure it wasn't Archetype?
Yeah, I thought that came after that, man, because that kind of corresponded with...
Archetype's the first one I remember hearing.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, that's how I got into this album.
No shit.
They played it on probably 94.7 or some shit.
Probably. Man, dude, have you guys been checking out 95.5?
Nope, I ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah, it's the new like Chicago rock station, and they've been playing some like pretty interesting shit, man. A lot of it's like kind of a loop kind of feel, but then they'll throw like a couple like little weird ones in and out. Like they had Suicide Silence on the other day. I was like, holy shit, that's cool. All
right, so singles was Cyber Waste, released March 22nd, 04. Archetype April 19th of 04 and Bite the Hand That Bleeds November 16th of 04.
I'm sorry, what was I right? Let me get closer, make sure that I was right. Does he call you at home?
Yeah.
Were you guys talking shit while I was gone?
A little bit, but then we started talking shit to each other.
Good. Right? It was a space filler.
We almost forgot about you immediately. I'm sorry.
Jesus. Just like usual.
I will say that at our first show, when Contempt played their first show at the Highland Legion, when we walked in, me and Ivan were the first ones to walk in, and they were bumping Cyber Waste. No. They were bumping Cyber Waste, and me and Ivan hooked up with Drew Motto because he was over there like working the PA and shit, man. I remember that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Another thing I don't remember.
What's up?
Another thing I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's the thing. Is like
Animal remembers everything.
I'm very situational about stuff. Like a smell, obviously, for a lot of people, but music, it sticks with me. And I just remember walking in, and it was that empty fucking room, and the whole show was fucking empty, anyways. But. But it was playing, and then me and Ivan walked in. We're like, oh, hey, what's up? And Drew was like, man, did you check out this new Pure Factory? It was fucking sweet.
Rest
man.
In peace, by the way.
For sure. Absolutely.
That's probably did.
Great fucking guy. Drummer for Genocide Gallows that we knew him. And then who else? Oh, Three Bean Soup was playing at that show, too.
Hello.
Three Bean Soup? I remember Three Bean Soup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. You remember Alphabet Soup? Hi, Alphabet. Dad Soup.
Hi, Dad Soup. Oh, no.
Hi, Dad Soup.
Don't tell me you don't remember Hi, Dad Soup.
I fucking love that movie so much. So good.
I got to send something to you, like a YouTube video about it. That's neither here nor there, though.
Okay.
So where did you guys leave off at?
So we just talked about Cyber Waste.
Singles was Cyber Waste, then Archetype, then Bite the Hands That Bleed.
So Cyber Waste was the first single?
Yeah, March 22nd of 04. Archetype released April 19th of the same year, and then Bite the Hand November of the same year.
Oh, okay. Damn.
I'm curious. Do you think Cyber Waste kind of puts like any of the older shit to kind of waste? Without, you know, like, do you think that's heavier than the other shit?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some heavy stuff from the old ones, but I think this one pretty.
I love Linchpin's
fucking awesome, but I think Cyber Waste is so fucking like in your face and brutal.
You know, it's the production too, to me.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Like the crisp production on this thing is what kind of like ties it in.
I think so.
Ivan, look up the first song for me, the title track, or the first track off of D-Manufacture. What is the name of that?
D-Manufacture?
What's your guys' least favorite on here? Is there a least favorite?
Act of God. The next one's my least favorite.
Act of God?
Yeah.
What did you want, Animal?
The first track off of D-Manufacture. What's the name of it?
D-Manufacture.
The first track is D-Manufacture. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. That, to me, was, like, their heaviest shit, like, before Archetype. That's that one where it's like, I've got no more goddamn regrets. Yeah, man, and I thought that was heavy as shit, but you put, like, Cyber Waste that, and it just blows the fucking roof off of it, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be an interesting 45-minute back and forth, but my favorite track off of this album was Act of God.
Really?
Jake, yeah, you said you didn't like that one, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's the chorus that does it. Maybe the vocals at some point fucked it up for me. Like, that's the only one I skip.
It's weird, because Burton, I'll give it to you, when Burton does that whole, like, singing falling sequence like virus and
yes yeah. That, yeah
I get that, I get that.
Holy
yeah right
and he kind it sounds was, like he doubles it so it like just puts it like right in your face that much more
yeah
and it's yeah he kind of has this like weird effect with it but yeah
sure
otherwise everything on this fucking album that he does vocally is fucking awesome to me like I'm sure musically if I went back it's probably fucking solid. Let's not lie. But that just threw me off.
Musically, the song is solid as fuck.
It's so fucking good. The way it builds, man, that progressive nature that it has. There are so many different elements to what this album is, man. And, like, it makes you wait for it. It's that fucking slow burn that just, it just pays off, man. So good.
For this one specifically or just, like, everything in general?
Well, this song specifically. Like, for me, is like, if someone said, like, musically speaking, like, what is, like, a song that for you makes sense for this album? I would say it's this one for sure.
Well, all right, let's flip that idea. And what would you consider your least favorite for you, Animal?
That's hard. That's really hard. Probably School.
I don't know if I count. That's a Nirvana cover.
Yeah, it's a Nirvana cover, so.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that. Give me a different one.
Don't pick my favorite.
Ascension.
Yeah.
Ascension. Fucking, what is it? 8 minutes of what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. If I had to guess, you got a gun to my head. Human Shields.
Damn it. I knew you were going to pick that one.
Did you?
That's some people going to die?
Oh, Big Boomers.
That's my favorite song off the album.
Yeah,
and it's totally different than the whole album.
I was going to say it. I was going to wait till we got to it, but since we're on it right now, I think that one's like their most radio friendly song.
Well, do you think it's more radio friendly than "Bite the Hand That Bleeds"? Because that was on the Tool.
Yeah.
That was on the Saw soundtrack.
Yeah, that was in the soundtrack. But this song is like the entire thing, dude. It's like mellow through majority of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is he even screaming the song? I don't think so.
It's like heavy. There's I wouldn't say fire, but like heavy, like intense singing, I guess you could say. Maybe.
Yeah.
That punch behind it.
Yeah.
He's got heat, but he doesn't have the growl.
Yeah. It's not the growl. Yeah. I don't think so. At least not that I can remember in that song.
Just an aggressive tone.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Like I think this is Burton at his best, like all around, but like even vocal performance wise, like some of the notes he hits, like especially like we haven't really gone, we're kind of picking and choosing where we're going here, but like in Undercurrent and Default Judgment, which might be my favorite one if we're picking favorites. Yeah. And then just the way, like, because they do these long choruses like at the end to kind of round him out, like do like 4 to 8 times, and he just does that like high singing like he does an Archetype, like how he closes it out, and it's just like it's pretty good. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like he gets pretty high for some of those, with especially mm-hmm. without losing some of the power.
What kind of there, obviously he's got an effect on it. Do you guys feel like that, like on his clean vocals?
Well, isn't they always like, have effects on there. They got like chorus and some that, reverb and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think it's more well produced, like as far as his vocals go? That's why he sounds better.
Yep, they spent a lot always, of time yeah. with him, man. Yeah, dude.
Because it's like just like the quality is ridiculous, like from his voice to what it was to hear. And then I almost feel like even after Archetype, it kind of went back down again. So I don't know.
Man, yeah. This.
I don't know if they produced the quality in his voice rather than maybe he did it himself.
I think they just captured what he does better.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much like he couldn't do it or not that they overproduced it. It just caught it better. Like I said, with that, with the Act of God, it has that effect like you're probably talking about. And I don't know if it's just him doubling it or maybe it's just them adding chorus to it, maybe. But it definitely has that kind of computer, like digital kind of sound. Like, if you do it too much, you know? Yeah. I think that's kind of what he goes for a lot.
That's the sound. Yeah. That's what they're looking for.
I don't know, man. Burton, like, he fucking screams good live, but his singing, man, like, he's either on or way off.
Yeah, it depends on how you fucking do it, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I expect that, though, from, like, bands that do, like, a lot of singing and screaming. Like, live, I don't expect your cleans to be perfect.
Yeah, like, it's hard, like, on their vocals, like, on their voice. Their throat, rather. Mm.
Yeah, because you could see that, especially if you go back and look at live footage from like Throwdown, like Deathless being one of our favorite albums. Like, if you go back and you listen to Continuum live, he does the more heavier part for the chorus, and it's just probably so fucking hard to do all that shit and then cut back into that. Yeah. It's like, I'm sure it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, unless your bass player sings for you or something, like As I Lay Dying and all that shit.
Oh, he's such a good fucking singer, man.
He falls in that style for me too, of like some like shit that Burton does, where it's not real fucking crazy melodic. It's just like hit notes, stay on it, hit a note, kind of stay on it.
Yeah,
like it's not bluesy. Kinda like church, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
kind of like singing in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Which I think it makes, like you said, it makes it a little bit easier for him, but it still sounds fucking cool. I kind of like that better than the up and down. Like, that's everybody's, I don't know, when you're going up and down, it's kind of like pop-ish.
It can pop. For sure. It's a fine balance.
Yep. So I don't know, this album I think was just such a capture of that moment for the band. They found this new guitar player, they kind of got rid of some negativity, and you captured that.
Well, he was already in the band.
Was he?
He was the bass player.
The guitar player is a bass player?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Christian was the bass player.
Let's just explode Animal's head.
Yeah.
He's definitely not sleeping tonight.
But do you think that who had the riffs, though? Did Dino have all the riffs, or was he fucking coming up with the riffs on the bass earlier?
I see what you're saying. Dude, I know exactly what you're saying,
and I was literally thinking about that, because like I think the chugging and shit is all Christian. Like all the chug patterns and shit.
That's a bass player's fucking like the groove.
Yeah.
And the bass and the drums are fucking, they're Twinkies, dude. They're, you know, they're fucking spaghetti and meatballs. So
yeah, I think Archetype is so crunchy, is because he's hitting, like he's playing what he would play on the bass, but he's just like playing the riff, you know,
chugging it.
Yeah.
That's something I never thought of.
Like fucking slave labor. like the opening. You know?
That's a bass. Yeah, that's a bass riff right there.
Mm-hmm.
For then, sure.
Oh, shit. What's the song that kind of starts off with the bass?
There's one, Default Judgment does it. It's like
and then when the guitar's kicking, it's so fucking heavy.
Now, I think Christian does some of the recording himself. I was going to try and look and see if he had anything to do with that himself on this album, but I'm almost positive he does like recording and does his own shit on the side, because he was jamming with fucking John from Threat Signal. They had that Archaea band.
Yeah.
And I think he was doing a lot of that recording himself, but not really.
He does a lot of like the effects. Samples?
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah.
Synths? I don't know.
The synth?
Let's see. It says it was produced by, I guess, by Fear Factory and Reese Fulber. So maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know.
Who were they on tour with around that time as far as
I'm gonna make you guys feel old. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I know a couple of guys that are like old now, but back on May 14th, 2004, I know a couple of guys that went to the Congress Theater when it was still open to see fucking Chimera, Fear Factory, and Slipknot.
I remember that. I remember that. Dude.
When was
ridiculous.
This?
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. May 14th, 2004.
2004.
Was that the date?
Congress Theater, baby.
So was that when this album came out for them? So they probably would play some of these songs. I would imagine a good chunk. Chimera had Impossibility, and then Slipknot.
They were
Volume 3.
Did they have Volume? Wow, Jesus Christ, that's a hell of a fucking that's a hell of a show,
dude. We were fucking sore as shit.
Was that the one I got hurt?
Yes.
Dude.
A lot of it was because of me, because you were taking care of me, man, because I was like, I want to see Slipknot, but I'm not going to be able to make it. And then you just fucking just held on to me the whole time, and you like pulled your fucking shoulder out and shit, man.
Yeah.
Dude, it was nuts, man, like, because they fucking put the curtain down, because it was Chimera open, then it was Fear Factory, and then it was Slipknot. And as soon as Fear Factory was done and they closed that curtain, they started playing that first track off of the first Slipknot album, just over and over and over and over and over and over. And people were already fucking just pushing everything that they had. And we're like, they haven't even started yet.
Dude,
you know?
Yeah, I couldn't breathe between like the whole set. The whole in between the set, I couldn't breathe. And then by the time it started, it was a fucking like the Slipknot's mosh pit. I have never seen anything like that, because I started in the front and I couldn't fucking get relief until I got out of the fucking theater.
Wasn't there like a fucking railing in the middle of the pit too?
Was there
that
was.
Place?
I think so.
That.
Because there were seats. There were seats and then there was,
there was that rail.
But, yeah, dude. Like, it was fucking crazy. But I do remember Fear Factory, dude. Like, I don't know. It was a real memorable show. Obviously, with Chimera fucking opening up and they sounded good as fuck too.
Everything like, was clean.
Yeah. It wasn't like the opening bands kind of sounded shitty. Like the audio and everything was perfect for all of them.
Dude, that was still a Jägermeister tour. So back then they don't
remember we got the lanyards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every year the lanyards low. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We're like 15, but I was already 40 at that point.
Who else wanted to buy the beer?
Was that the show that you took your took your beanie?
I believe so. Yeah, my Decepticon beanie.
Sid, right?
Yep. And those pictures did not come out. I remember I took that thing, and they were all like dark, and they said that there was really nothing to it, and I'm just like, I think maybe a couple of them got saved, but yeah. I don't think the one with Sid got saved.
One more thing about that show. Do you guys remember the kid that was trying to get a ticket because he wanted to see Fear Factory and he carved the FF
with the Runcie nail?
The dude poured. He had Jack Daniels and he poured it on it.
Yep.
I was like, Jesus.
Yep. Yeah. And then I bought everybody, because the ice cream man came by, and I bought everybody Powerpuff Girl things, and he put a cigarette in the little thing's mouth.
Yeah.
And then we saw Ray. We fucking saw Ray from Fear Factory leaving across the street to that Mexican joint.
And Mark?
Yeah, he had all that food and shit.
And then you yelled at Mark and he ignored you?
Yep.
And then
Corey. Brandon, I thought Corey ignored him.
No, it was Mark. Corey. Mark was on the phone.
Okay,
or something.
That must have been a different show, because I remember Corey had like bluish thing in his hair and he was walking away and they're like, Corey, he just went like this, but he kept walking. I don't remember. That must have been a different show then.
Huh.
Yeah, Animal got offended. I was like, bro, he was on the phone. He's like, no.
It was like one of the first things I remember hearing Animal talk about.
Yeah.
Fuck, like, Kai Burr.
I'm 16, okay? And he deserves to just stop and talk to me.
I was mad at Dave Draymond for doing shit like that.
Was he doing that?
At Ozfest, he was walking around with his dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he
Dave.
Fucking hung up. Yeah, you and
it's
I
like
were
not here.
Out
not
Voivod,
here.
Man. It was either Voivod or Cradle of Filth, and he was like right by us.
We were like, Metallica!
Oh, no! Oh, that was so mean.
That's crazy.
Can't help it.
Good fucking show, though. That Fear Factory show was awesome.
Yeah,
no, he was just like...
Really good.
So, since we were talking about like Dino and shit, maybe this will be an interesting conversation. Would you take Archetype over any of the Defining Heresy albums?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without a question. Yeah. I thought you'd give it a little bit more fight than that. All right. Well, fuck you guys.
No, I mean,
it's a solid. Those are solid albums, man. But
Bleed the Fifth is like, it's right there, dude. But I don't know. Maybe because this came first, it's probably why I liked it better. There's no thrash. There's no fucking like. I don't know. The Divine Heresy is consistent, but there's no like fucking breakdown thrash riffs like kind of like there is on here.
That punch that brings it together. The difference with Archetype is the music fucking drives that album. Divine Heresy, at least that first album, Tommy. That album. Yep.
Yeah, it's the vote. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know, dude. That drummer's sick.
Yeah, Tim Young.
Yeah,
right?
Like I don't disagree with that, but I don't know, man. I'm trying to think. Like, there's some fucking bangers. Like, I know he picks almost a little too much on that shit, but like when the drummer, like, all right, when he finally slows down, like especially Bleed the Fifth, like during that chorus, like, like shit, like that's pretty fucking tight. And I just those rhythms are so tight on that, especially being so fast. I don't know, man. It's I'd still give it to Archetype because that's just personally like a favorite, but I don't know, man. That's why I kind of need to go back and check out some of this early Dino shit just to give it a fair shake, I guess.
I take that Divine Heresy album over the rest of Fear Factory albums personally.
Hmm.
But if we're going against Archetype, I'll take Archetype.
Yeah.
And you like the first Divine Heresy over the second one, or which one do you prefer?
I prefer the first one.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, thank you.
I agree with Red, though. That dude who took over vocals for the second album is good.
Yeah, I
don't mind him. Good. I think he's tight with the fucking screams, but you hear the difference when he tries to sing. Like, it's almost too nasally. That's my only problem.
What I like most about it is, like, he didn't try to emulate Tommy. Like, he did his own thing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And here's the thing. If you know what you can do vocally, then that's what you do. And that's kind of where he's at. Like, that's what he can do. So it wasn't like he was trying to do something that was out of his range and sounded like shit, which, like, some bands do, and you're like, eh, I'm not good with it.
I just added those two albums to my list on iTunes. I'm going to have to go back and revisit those because it's been a while.
Yeah.
They're solid.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me wrong, you know. Yeah, I'm the fucking, if anybody knows me, I'm the fucking you know, but like, I guess I just expect more. It's like, oh hey, we're gonna go to the Old Country Buffet. Oh sweet. Oh no, they're closed. We're gonna go to the Golden Corral. Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
I'll do it. That's how I feel with the second Divine Heresy album. I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm not taking any talent away from the guy. I just think that there's not enough. Under it, there's not.
I think the song, but the songs were written differently, though. I think the first album was written for more power, and the second album was written a little bit different.
It could be. I'd like to know that, you know, because that might change something, man.
We'll do a versus. We'll do like a versus thing, and we'll listen to both albums and then do something on that. That'd be cool.
If this was 2014, we could have got Tommy to talk to us, but we can't do that anymore.
No, you had him send me a snap, dude. I remember that. Good times. No.
He's too busy writing cheese dick songs and banging hookers or models, whatever he calls them. What are the two? Is there a difference?
They are classy, God damn it.
This is so funny. If I would have gotten it, I would have gotten it by now. I've been going to the gym and banging supermodels.
What he didn't tell you is he's got herpes now.
It's true.
Herpes 19.
He's too big. He's too big for us, man. But
is he small, miss small?
How big are they right now?
Bad Wolves?
They're I would say just over our league. Not by much, but like just over.
No. They're like fucking like Five Finger.
Yep.
Whoa. They're right there.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I'd say
they're right there, dude.
They're like I think they're like a year or two out, but maybe an album. I don't know, dude.
Hector.
You would know more than me, so I'll take your word for it.
No, yeah, they're mainstream though. They are
mainstream.
Which is fine, but they're fucking huge. Like amongst like regular people know them, so you know they're huge.
Chrissy likes them, so they must be popular. Yeah.
I don't listen to the radio, so I don't hear what gets played and stuff.
It's not even on the radio, dude. It's just like when my wife's friends are like, "Yeah, I know who Bad Wolves are." Then you know, like they're fucking massive.
Like, are they known for their covers or are they actually known? You know what I mean? Because I feel like they're known for their covers, and then
also when you got these, you know, and some tattoos, yeah. Tommy's got like fucking 50,000 women following him with like their kids, like single moms. It's insane.
Yeah. Because of his shoes. Yeah. He's got the shoe game going, man.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but they got good fucking riffs too. Like, Docs. Yeah.
I'm not discrediting them. I just want them on the show.
You know, it's like,
I like how we roped everybody in with Fear Factory talk, and now we're talking about everything else.
But it all ties together, though.
Yeah, we fucked
it. It does. But, they peed next to Doc, man.
No, you did, you motherfucker. I told you.
Peed next to him.
No, you went in there. I was like, don't go in there. He's like, I'm going to go in there. I was like, just wait till he gets out, dude. I was like, is that Doc? Yeah, that's Doc, dude. And he's taller than I thought. Mm-hmm. That's neither here nor there. But like, for the Bad Wolves thing, once you start getting, like, once Zombie hit in such the weird way that it did, and then I know there is the heavier songs on there, but the next tracks, or at least I think the singles were, was what that one about his brother, and then that slow one with that chick singer. So I think they definitely started going that mainstream route. And I think the biggest songs on this last one, even though they released a couple of the heavy ones too, I want to say it's that Sober that's probably pretty big. Dude, Josh Brolin was in the fucking car jamming to the fucking Sober. So don't tell it might be a whole nother fucking atmosphere that I don't even know about now. I'm out of the loop.
There was
fucking Thanos jammed it.
Yep. There was a video on Instagram where Tommy was in like some like drive through and it was just focused on him. And he was like, "Hey man, can you go get that for me?" And like he wasn't shown who was in the car. And then he goes, "Just come on, just do it." And so then he turns the camera and it was Josh Brolin. He's like, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
That's awesome. It's
like, yes. Like, you know, if you're fucking friends with Josh Brolin, you're gonna ask him to like do Thanos stuff, or you're gonna fucking ask him to do something from fucking Men in Black. I still say that Men in Black 3 was like Josh Brolin's like one of his best performances ever. Like he nailed Tommy Lee Jones down.
I can't disagree with that. Yep. I only saw it the one time, but he was fucking tight. Agreed.
There you go.
How many characters does he have in the Marvel Universe? Because he's Cable.
Cable.
Thanos. Oh yeah.
I think that's it.
No, I thought there was another one. I don't know.
He's cool. You know, Deadpool 2, man. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, it's not as good as the first one. But I rewatched it recently. I was like, man, this is really
it.
Good.
I didn't like it.
I never watched it, but I caught the ending upstairs in the break room.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was hilarious how he's how he killed that fucking one from Wolverine. And then when Ryan Reynolds had the script to Green Lantern.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
I want to rewatch Logan again.
I bet you do.
That was good. You guys not like Logan?
Logan's fine. I like it.
It was all right.
I like it.
I think it's better than
Deadpool. I didn't like the way they portrayed Deadpool, but.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just felt
Archetype.
I'm over here looking at tracks like, what the fuck?
Bone Scraper was one of my jams as far as drums go. The fucking blasts in that song were ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Drones. I thought was cool. More catchy than fucking heavy, but it still had the groove. Archetype, I can't say enough about. Yeah. Corporate Cloning. I remember Red used to jam this one a lot.
Yeah.
In the car. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that one's pretty pretty catchy chorus. It's like, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but God damn it. Yeah. It sticks out.
I think, Andy, I hear like a little bit of overall on the album. Do you guys feel like it, like a Slipknot kind of vibe too? Almost like a, I don't want to say, I guess like what we're talking about, like that new American wave of metal or whatever, where they kind of like jumped in with like Lamb of God and Slipknot and that kind of, maybe it's the production again. I'm going back to the production, the tone and everything.
But they had that feel, like, you know what I mean? Like the real fucking heavy verses and the choruses kind of brought it all together. I could see the similarity.
Yeah, like the and the drum tone too. I feel like the drum, like, did it change? You would probably know more than I would.
I don't want to say it did.
It's like, it felt like the drums were not so far back from everything. I felt like it kind of got away from that industrial feel where there's all this stuff going on and you've got different layers of music, right?
It sounded like a metal, like rather than like a computerized industrial band. It sounded like
I was going to say this. Do you think because Dino wasn't there anymore, like the drummer actually got to play the drums instead of fucking Dino fucking going back in and redoing the drums on a drum machine?
Yeah.
I've heard fucking rumors about that shit. I can't say for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. Trying to push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, they stripped this band down to its core. They were just there. They were fucking in your face. Look at them touring on Gigantour with this. If you look at all the footage, there's no fancy fucking lights behind them. It's a black fucking curtain with the cover of the album. They were just a down-to-earth fucking band, and it was amazing.
That's what I'm saying. I get those fucking groove, like the groove riffs are more groove and less systematic or whatever like Dino was just patternized, or I don't know how I'm trying to think of the word, but
like synchronized.
More of like a feel, like you said, the drums, you get more of a feel to it than a fucking, well, this is how you do it and it has to be this way.
Was it the same drummer in that album?
Yeah, it was the same dude. Yeah, I think that was this dude's last album with them, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Okay.
And then he got replaced by the computer.
Yeah, exactly.
The drum machine.
It's more reliable. I'm telling you, man. Drummers are a dying breed, man. You know.
They really are.
Yeah. You don't need us, man. You know. Fuck that shit. I do want to say
something. Tune tracks. God damn it.
Right. Yeah. I do want to say, I kind of want to poll the audience with this, with you guys. This album obviously was more of a commercial success than anything they've done before. But do you think that these songs could have gone a little bit further if they were cut down a little bit? Like, you look at Archetype, right? That was on the radio, but that song, they took a minute and a half off because it just kept going on and on forever. But do you think that they could have had the potential to be a little bit bigger if they would have maybe changed a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's kind of set up to where you can kind of do that to every song almost. Like I said, like they cut down on Archetype, obviously. But Default Judgment does the same thing. I bet you Undercurrent does too. I bet you could take like one or two times out of that last ending chorus like they did for Archetype and do the same shit for those songs. So I can't, radio does what the fuck radio wants to do, I guess.
Right.
Apparently, nobody can listen to fucking full songs, but you listen to Led Zeppelin all day.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, like, radio and metal, like, really have that, like, connection as far as how big a band's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, yeah. I mean, unless you're doing, like, radio, unless you're going for radio-friendly. Specific.
If you're Bad Wolves metal.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're saying, all right,
you're,
man.
You're riding off a five finger.
You know, like, like honestly, they could probably cut down like one or two times because Burton, he's not one that kind of improvises. He just kind of does that same thing, and maybe at the last end or every two, he does the higher one instead of going back down. So yeah, you could theoretically cut like 30 seconds out of each song technically if you wanted to. They have those extended choruses, and it wouldn't be a thing. But yeah, I guess it depends on what you're into.
Yeah,
our area never really gets that metal play.
No,
but I do right. Like Wisconsin and other shit like that. I've heard that they've got metal stations.
Michigan. Every time I've driven up to Michigan, they've had fucking awesome stations.
Yeah,
makes me jealous.
Fucking Chicago.
Weird for Chicago. Yeah, Chicago is like you would think, but even if it's not a metal city, it's a big enough fucking.
Nah, dude. Like, think about it. Like, it feels
Machine
like
Head's favorite place to play.
Yeah, Machine Head. I'm sure. Like anytime
they play
anybody's
in California all the time.
Yeah. Fuck California.
I don't know, man. I think the scene's
California.
There.
California.
Yeah.
California.
Every fucking band we see has said, like, oh my God, Chicago. Like, Chicago. Like, I wish you can compile, like, a bunch of interviews with the bands. Chicago, Chicago, Chicago.
I think if they fucking managed the radio stations right, they could have had a fucking thing. Like, the scene could probably be even bigger than it is. Because if this is how it is with the fucking music that we were hearing at the time. Like, obviously, there's a fucking a thirst for it. You know, if all these bands are coming here and saying they have such a good fucking time, you know, it's such a missed opportunity to me.
And we have a ton of small venues that get fucking packed.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's all fucking bands need. Like, it's within their means.
Yep. And then we got Kuma's Corner. We got a burger joint that's fucking metal tribute, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
It's really sad. Speaking of concerts, I saw Pirate the other day, which shout out to Pirate. He's getting married next month. So he had a, like a little bachelor party type thing at that Up Your Alley in Cherryville.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went by to, you know, pay some love and stuff like that. And he was putting on wristbands on everybody. And it was this like bright pink fucking wristband, you know, the ones that like tear your hair apart and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and he was like, I was
the
like, looking at him, he looked at it. What's up?
The carnival ones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly that. He's like looking at me. He goes, I know that shit sucks, right, dog? It makes you feel like you're about to go in the House of Blues. And I'm like, God damn it, it does, man. You know, it fucking, oh, I just miss it. Like, just like, oh, like those first fucking couple shows back when this finally happens, dude. It's going to be fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. I heard Fear Factory is coming back to play Archetype in full.
Yeah. Spread
they
that rumor.
Vocalist, yeah. They need a vocalist first.
Yeah. Let's just get everybody. Like, let's secretly reach out to everybody.
He probably has all the fucking vocal tracks. So he's just going to be like a complete mechanized band.
He's going to be
a Ronnie James Dio tour of Fear Factory.
It's
going to
be a hologram.
Yeah.
Hear that, robotic puppets.
That's true.
Wouldn't that be fucked up? He's like, we replaced you with a hologram of you.
I had to get two holograms.
Yep.
For Dino.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're terrible.
That's corporate cloning.
Yeah. Oh, he's on it tonight. I like his Fear Factory puns. It's good shit.
I did it.
All right.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I just like talking to you guys.
I think we can agree that this is the best Fear Factory album out of them all.
Yep.
I can't deny it.
And
riot.
So hold on, what year did it come out?
04.
Yeah. 04. I see. Oh, that was a year after, because you remember I was saying like 03 was like the best year for albums. What else came out in 04?
Slipknot Volume 3.
Because Impossibility.
Impossibility was 03.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
And 05 was the Black Album.
05 was the Black Album?
I think Rise of Brutality was 03, I think.
So, this album kind of hit like... This album hit
like good in a way like because it wasn't being clouded by anything else.
Yeah.
True.
That's what I was
just on the tail end of it while it was still cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I never even thought of that, like what it had to compete with.
Well, yeah, I can't think anything off of 04.
I can't else. No. I mean, just some other.
Was, what year was Blood Mountain? Was that 05 or
06?
Wow.
Damn.
06. Okay.
Yep.
Never mind. Leviathan, what was that?
That was
04. Was that around there?
I think so.
That might have been. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Our facts are fucking terrible. We'll have to.
Well, we do it on the fly, so
yeah.
I would like to do like
if we had an audience, they could fucking correct us, but
yeah,
until we get that, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you gotta deal with our dumbass facts.
Crazy.
No, good stuff, man. Good years, and now there's like nothing to like. I don't know. Like I feel like I was saying like the Deftones thing earlier. I feel like I'm just grabbing whatever band like has stuff, or I'm like holding on to like pieces. But I can't tell you, honestly, the last fucking album that I listened to that's been recent where I'm like, this whole thing is a masterpiece. Like, remember in that South Park episode where Stan thought everything was shit? Like, pay attention to that. I was like,
are you saying you got Asperger's?
No.
It sounds like you got Asperger's, bro.
I can't wait for the special on Sunday.
Is it coming up Sunday? Oh.
Yeah, or Wednesday. I'm sorry, Wednesday.
Fuck, I'm going to have to pay attention to that. It's like an hour-long episode.
Yeah, it's at 7 o'clock.
Fuck.
Damn. Damn.
Put that in. I forgot all about that.
Put that in the schedule.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, so I think that's it on that album, at least.
For sure.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Cover? Of School?
Yeah. You guys think it was a solid cover?
I didn't know what the original sounds like, so I can't tell you.
It's pretty much like the same version. Shit.
Is yeah. It?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's fine. I think it's cool.
You know who did a good Nirvana cover?
Huh?
Is you know who did a good Nirvana cover?
Westfield O-tep. Massacre.
No, OTEP.
I don't dig OTEP.
What song?
What? It was that Rich.
I don't like.
The name
I don't.
Of it.
No offense. I don't like the way she goes about herself.
Yeah, she really went off the deep end for me a couple of years ago. Breed, Richie. It's Breed.
Oh.
Oh okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good fucking cover, man.
I like OTEP, dude. Their bass player was fucking awesome, dude. I'm sure you like the music.
Yeah, I like.
You don't agree with politics.
I mean, like, even like, her vocals weren't all that good. I mean, most of the time it was what was his name? The dude. He was doing the heavy vocals anyways, and she was doing the reverb and the beat.
I don't know, bro.
About a chicken wing?
She had some fucking heavy vocals, man. She did.
She did. I don't know. She might have used the pedal or something.
I don't know.
She was my first experience as a female fronted like metal.
Because
she's
like
singer.
One of the pioneers.
Yeah.
For the female metals, but
Green Kitty.
She got like quickly overshadowed. In my opinion.
Well, it's because it was the same thing. When you knew, like, an OTEP album was coming out, you're like, "Look, there it comes. Here's another OTEP album. It's going to be the same format, the same fucking thing."
I was going to say, because the vocal thing's all the same.
OTEP. She's mostly flow as opposed to, I guess.
Yeah, she's, like, rapping.
Different things that she can do, I guess. Because, like, with Lizzie Hale and even the chick from In This Moment, I think they got better range, better fucking... Better screaming and heavy fire vocals. Yeah, they can vary their sound and shit. Whereas mostly she's got like a heavy tone. Just it's more rhythmic, like a fucking rap or poem or some bullshit.
What happened to my girl, dude?
Is she doing?
Straight Line Stitch. I don't know, dude.
She's fucking badass too. Like right before Lizzie Hale and all them came in, like that. She was
Like her E when like her vowel for the E when she's doing a scream, it sounds like it could rip through steel, dude.
She was on top of her shit. Yeah.
Yeah, she was, man. But you ever hear her talk? She's like, thanks so much. Like she does not like it just doesn't match up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Dez founded them.
I never heard her talk.
Who's that? Dez?
Dez founded them.
And then they did the song with Jamie.
Oh, yeah. It's something Taste of Ashes or something.
Yeah.
Taste of Asses.
Yeah. Here's another fucking long, drawn-out animal story, which will be short. Megadeth was about to go on, and I think it was like maybe 2011. It was Mayhem Fest. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go fucking piss. I'm going to get a beer. I'm going to get ready. I was so stoked because it was the first time I saw Megadeth. I go out, you know, in Tinley, you know, you go out, you're like over on the side where the food is and shit. There's the bathrooms and all that. I go to take a piss. It's fucking Alexis from Lane Stitch hanging out there and fucking Kirk from Down. Because nice. Sorrow played that year. I was like, oh, my God. It was really That's cool. Crazy. Just talk. Yeah, just talk for like 5 minutes. And then fucking the Megadeth open with Hangar 18. I was like, I have to go. And Kirk was like, I totally understand. Oh, it was so good. Oh, my God. I miss concerts. Oh.
One of the biggest underrated guitar players, Kirk.
Oh, that absolutely. Dude fucking,
the groove, the chugs. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So good. The only problem, like, I love me some Crowbar, but I have to be really in the mood. Like, for me, like, this is fall season, right? So we're talking about the sludge and the doom and all the shit that Jake makes fun of me for listening to. Obviously, well, Typo Negative, not until October 1st.
Not until October 1st specifically.
October Rust. Yes. October Rust.
You.
But, yeah, dude, I'm it is weird because I'm jamming, like, fucking Down and Crowbar and even Josta. Not Hatebreed, but kind of just, like, Josta himself.
That's pretty sweet. I haven't gotten fully like into it, but the little shit that I heard, I liked it.
Yeah, he actually uses like a range, you know, in his like
solo Josta stuff. Yeah,
I like what he does there. That's solid. I looked up Straight Line Stitch, and apparently they're still doing it. It's staying present. So
reach out to him, Animal. You're good with shit. They'll talk to us.
They'll do.
Maybe not Tommy Bass, but.
We were supposed to, you remember in Pray for All, we were supposed to play with Straight Line Stitch.
Yeah.
That was in like Indianapolis or something at a fest, and then fucking.
And then we played in Indianapolis to nobody. Yeah.
Time out. Didn't our drummer go get on like house arrest or something? We had to cancel the show.
No, we still went out there. Maybe we were supposed to go out there at two different times, but. We did play one show out there, and it was only the bands anyway. Like, every band just kind of brought their own crowd. And just once a new band would start, everybody else would leave out. And, dude, I thought we fucking killed it that night. It sounded good. We played good, and nobody fucking was there.
I know.
Nobody, except, like, the girlfriends.
Why did they record that shit? Damn it.
Dude, fuck that.
Damn it.
That's a...
You drummers, man. You know... You know, you ruin it for all of us.
You know, my therapist tells me that the biggest problem with me is inconsistency. And I said, isn't that funny that I'm also a drummer?
Yeah, that is funny, huh?
I'm trying. I'm really trying. We want to get together and do some covers and shit. You know, we posted the cover of Sex Type Thing last week. I'm still working on editing it for My Own Worst Enemy, but... I'd like to jam, and it's sad because I haven't just lugged his fucking massive thing out of here, but I would like to get some
did you?
Together. Yeah. I want a plane out of it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well,
My head's
fucked
up.
I'm going to be releasing an acoustic album here soon, you know.
Can we review it? I want to review it.
Yeah, you guys review it. I'm searching for vocalists.
It stinks.
it stinks. Jake's gonna do all the guitar solos on it, and Animal's gonna play the congos
inconsistently.
Yep,
inconsistent
congos.
and then Ivan will slap the bass.
A slap at the bass.
Sounds good. Hey, it sounds better than Transgression already.
Oh,
there we go.
That sounds like a transgression.
Oh shit!
I don't even know what that means.
So it's 9:20, guys, and I think I might roll out here. If that's cool with you.
He's getting all closer and shit.
We're about to wrap it up anyway. The only question I have, this is a side note. Ivan, I don't know if you feel this way, but what's up with Hector? Does he not like us? Does he not like me and Ivan?
Oh, because
he specifically shout out too red an animal? Like, you could have just said, what's up, guys?
I don't know him personally, so.
He's actually, he was going to sing for the Contempt reunion.
We're part of Contempt, too.
Working security. He's working security.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
I don't know him personally, so I don't know. Red, do you know him personally? Or
yeah, he's
checking. He knows you. If he listens to this podcast, he knows you enough. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Putting in fucking hard work over here. He's the only one that consistently listens to us, and I can't even get a shout out.
shout out to that pasty white dude.
Yeah, dude, like, I know it doesn't look like I'm here, but I still have feelings, dude.
They're like, is that a light? I think that's just a light. It's the light from the animation thing. What is it? Is it Pixar that has the little light guy?
Yeah, there you go.
That's Jake.
I'm just going to jump on this chair and smash something. That's how upset I am.
Nice.
But I don't know what anybody got ideas for next week or anything. Anything they want to get off their chest?
Let's do a versus. Let's do the versus, dude.
The versus, yeah. Divine okay. Heresy.
Okay. Yeah, Bleed the Fifth versus Bringer of Plagues. Isn't that
all right? But if nobody fucking picks a side and we're all on the fucking the first album side, this is gonna suck. So
we'll
have to come up with some categories then. Like, which album does this better? Okay. I'll see what I can do. I'll work on some shit. But that's
cool by me. Behind the scenes, we're going to work really hard on that.
Yes.
Yeah, Sunday night, we're going to be like, hey, what are we doing again?
You guys got anything? I didn't even listen to it yet. Yeah. I didn't listen to either of them.
We're going to have to scroll up in the thread. It's like, oh, well, there's animal shit posting, gent shit posting, Reddit porn. Oh, here we go.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yep. All right, gentlemen. I don't know. Right. Any closing comments between anybody?
Nope.
Tune in next time.
Yeah, see you next week.
Kill Switch Engage, baby.
The Elite, bitches. I got the Elite. Check it out. Rob, notice me.
Corrosion. Liberty or death.
Yep.
All right.
Goodbye.
Later, guys. Peace.
Bye. How do you work this thing, Apple?